Jai. Nabadibdom Kajai Jagadasami Kajai Yamunamai Kajai. Shimari Lassideva Kajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai. Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Vo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Okay. So let's read from the Bhagavad Gita. Second chapter, text 21. Om Ganati Miranda Shaganan Jana Shlakaya Chakshuran Meditam Yena Tosmai Shri Guruve Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened our eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, we read this. Do you usually read responsively on Sunday? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we'll just do one line at a time and see if everybody can respond. Veda vinachinam nityam yahinam majamavyayam katam cha purusha partha kam gatha yati hantikam veda vinachinam nityam Yayinam Majamavyam Katamsa Purusha Parta Kam Gatayati Hantikam Viravinashinam Nicham Yayinam Majamavyam Katamsa purusha parta Kam gatayati hantikam. Does anyone want to try that? Any bold souls?
Veda vinashinam nityam.
Veda vinashinam nityam.
Yainam majamavyayam.
Yainam majamavyayam.
You can page down when we go through it. Ladies. Everyone else is shy, so we'll go on. So we'll go to the word by word synonyms. Veda.
Veda.
Knows.
Knows.
Avinashinam.
Indestructible.
Nityam.
Always existing.
Yaha.
One who.
Enam.
This soul.
Ajam.
Unborn.
Avyayam,
immutable.
Katam,
how.
Saha,
that.
Purushaha,
person.
Partha,
Oparta,
Arjuna.
Kam,
whom.
Gatayati,
causes to hurt.
Hunti,
kills.
Kam,
whom?
Translation,
O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn, and immutable kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explained that these purports are his ecstatic symptoms. In other words, his realizations coming directly from Krishna and his bhava, that is, his emotions in relationship to Krishna. So if you hear from Srila Prabhupada, we were discussing this morning, that depending upon who you hear from, that's as much spiritual advancement as you will make. Like if you hear from someone who is on the level of Vaidhi, that means he's just practicing, or practicing, depending on what language you're speaking, practicing or practicing. If he's just practicing, that's Southern language. If he's just practicing, then your association with him can give you some shraddha or faith. But then if you hear from someone who's on a higher level, then let's say he's on the level of bhava or something like that, then he can bring you up further in the devotional realm. And by his blessings, you can actually come up further. But if you hear from someone who is on the topmost platform of devotional service, then simply by his blessings, he can make you Krishna conscious. Wow. He goes, wow, bless me to be Krishna conscious. Hari Bol, I'm a pure devotee. Can anyone think of an example of that? Yeah, Gopal Kumar, but he was already on the path. Oh, his disciple. Oh, yeah, yeah, he hugged his disciple. He hugged his disciple, who was a Mathura Brahman, gave him a warm fuzzy, and he became completely Krishna conscious. And can you think of someone who wasn't even a devotee before he got the blessings, and they became completely... What? Jagai Madai, yeah, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that was by Lord Nityananda, who's Vishnu Tattva. So let's think of it, someone who got the blessings from a pure devotee of the Lord. Who? Magrari the hunter. He was just like a hunter. He was half killing animals, and then Narada Muni scared him a little bit so he would hear a little better. He showed him, this is what's going to happen. This is your future karma. The animals are going to kill you and torture you in the future. And he said, uh-oh, what should I do? And Narada Muni said, give it all up. And he said, how am I going to maintain my family? How am I going to go to work, you know? And Narada Muni said, I'll personally take care of you. And then he became a pure devotee like that. Well, Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. So many examples we have where the blessings of the pure devotee. So the point is, by reading or coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada's words, sound vibration, then one gets his blessings. Very easy process. That's why Prabhupada stressed the distribution of his books, especially the Bhagavad Gita, which we're talking about this month. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a great acharya, said, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. So we have the advantage of associating with Prabhupada. I know many of you never met Prabhupada physically, but you can get the same advantage that I got. You may say, oh, you're lucky, Maharaj, you know, that's why you were a sannyasi, because you met Prabhupada and he blessed you. But for the rest of us, you know, how are we going to get the blessings of Prabhupada? Should we go to some mystic and channel Prabhupada? No, that doesn't work. You're not going to be able to channel Prabhupada because Prabhupada is preaching somewhere. You can only channel ghosts. So if you're into channeling, that's who you're going to associate with if you like that, not some advanced soul, right? You know, if you get your Ouija board out, that's a ghost speaking to you. That's not some great personality. So anyway, so we can channel Prabhupada through sound vibration. So we're very fortunate. Anyway, so these purports of Prabhupada's ecstatic manifestations, you can actually experience bhava. That means spiritual emotions, just by hearing nicely. Okay, so hear nicely. Everything has its proper utility, and a man who is situated in complete knowledge knows where and how to apply a thing for its proper utility. Similarly, violence also has its utility, and how to apply violence rests with the person in knowledge. Although the justice of the peace awards capital punishment to a person condemned for murder, of course in America that would be the judge, not a justice of the peace. Justice of the peace just perform marriages in America, right? But, you know, the Prabhupada's using some Indian language here. The justice of the peace cannot be blamed because he orders violence to another person according to the codes of justice. In the Manu Sanghita, the law book for mankind, it is supported that a murderer should be condemned to death so that in his next life he will not have to suffer for the great sin he has committed. Therefore, the king's punishment of hanging a murderer is actually beneficial. Similarly, when Krishna orders fighting, it must be concluded that the violence is for supreme justice. And thus Arjuna should follow the instruction, knowing well that such violence committed in the act of fighting for Krishna is not violence at all, because at any rate, the man, or rather the soul, cannot be killed. So for the administration of justice, so-called violence is permitted. A surgical operation is not meant to kill the patient, but to cure him. Therefore, the fighting to be executed by Arjuna at the instruction of Krishna is with full knowledge, so there is no possibility of sinful reaction. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuna Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, this verse requires a lot of explanation because, you know, at first glance, it may appear that we're justifying terrorism, you know, religious wars or wars of religious conquest like the Crusades or, you know, like the terrorism we're experiencing in the world today. So it's not what is advocated in this particular verse and purport. But first, before understanding that, let's understand a few simple points about the soul and the body. Okay. So when a person dies, I have a question for all of you. When a person dies, what does he take with him? There's several things he takes with him. This is not a trick question, but it requires some thinking. Does he take his family, his dog? So, of course, I don't have a pen to write all these things down, but you're going to find he takes a lot of things with him. Actually, there's some religions that teach you take your whole family with you and your dog and your grandmother. And in the Egyptians, they used to try to take all their servants with them, their jewelry with them, and then the grave robbers took it all out. So they didn't take anything with them, right? So you take several things with you. This is quite interesting. Okay, so you mentioned one thing. What? Desires. Desires means the linga sharira, the subtle body. You have two material bodies, and you can't see one of them, except indirectly. If you look in someone's eyes, you can see the subtle body. That means, what is the eye is the window to the soul and also to the desires of a person. I'm looking at Jagatguru's subtle body now. Very interesting. All right, so there is, that's the desires a person has. Like if you see someone, let's say, I'm going to give you a typical example. It's pretty easy to see the secondary evidence for the subtle body. Let's say you see someone like eating meat, and they're taking a leg. Ooh, yuck. So you see my subtle body when I'm saying, ooh. But my subtle body is disgusted at that idea. So they're taking a leg of some animal. Confirmed. And so they're, so you can actually watch their desires through that second area. So there's something there. There's something there other than the gross body. And that's the subtle body. The body. So anyway, you take that with you. So what else do you take with you at the time of death?
Karma.
What? Karma. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. That's very good. You take your karma with you. That means, karma means a lot of different things, basically. It means the reactions to your present or past activities, right? That you take that whole stockpile with you, you know. It's going to become mature at some point in the future. Becoming mature means it's you're going to have to suffer it. Because the thing with karma, you can't just like go to a certain country and hope that your host country is not going to send you back to your original country, isn't it? So you can't escape your karma. All right, you take your karma. But it also means other things. It means karma bij. There's a seed to a future activities. Because the word karma can actually mean activity. not only resultant reaction from activity, right? So there's the karma bees, you know, a sinful seed or whatever seed of future activity you're taking with you. Interesting, isn't it? So what else do you take with you?
Spiritual knowledge.
Spiritual knowledge, that's good. If you're a devotee, hopefully, then you take swapamapyasya dharma shatrayate mahatobayat, whatever spiritual advancement you have, whatever spiritual knowledge. That you don't lose. The other knowledge you lose, like if you're an expert, you know, whatever, physicist or something like that, you've got to start again from first grade or from kindergarten or whatever. You don't even take the knowledge on how to walk. I mean, has anybody seen a child born that walked within 5 minutes after they were born? No. But you walked in the last life. I've seen animals that were able to walk. Cows can walk pretty quickly after they're born. Anyone ever seen a cow being born? They get up and they walk, but human beings don't. So you don't take that knowledge. Okay. But you take spiritual knowledge. Very good. Thank you for that. And what else do you take? Yeah, that's a spirituality. Yeah. What else? What else do you take at the time of death? Anybody have any other idea? Who?
The mind.
Well, that's the subtle body. We already discussed that. That's good. Everybody forgot about the soul. Huh? That's what's being discussed here. I mean, Hare Krishna. Oh, you took it for granted. You're taking all this other garbage with you except for the spiritual knowledge, but you're not taking your soul with you. You know, you're in trouble. And there's one other thing.
It is you.
It is you. You're taking yourself, you know. It's transported. Yeah, you're not carrying it in a little baggie like that. But all right, what else comes with you? The next body.
Subtle memories.
Subtle memory, that's a subtle body. What else? There's one other thing.
Karma?
We said that already. What?
Karma.
No, that's the self. That's the self. Ego means the self. Paramatma. Paramatma. Jai. That's what I was looking for. Thank you very much, gentlemen in the back there. So there, I'm sure there's some other things you take with you, too. Sometimes you don't take your family members with you, but sometimes you meet them in the next life. If you're real attached to them, but you switch roles. Like, you become the wife, and you were the husband before, and she becomes the husband, or whatever. Or you become the mother, and she becomes your son. Oh, I can't imagine becoming the mother of my mother in the next life. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that one, but anyway, that's frightening. Anyway, so you know, there are different groups of people who travel together because of attachment to each other. And Prabhupada said, interesting, I better not say this, but I'll say it. If Prabhupada said, interesting, sometimes people who are enemies, they're actually born together or get married or have some association in the next life so they can just like fight with each other. You know, it's not saying that every time you're married, it was your enemy in the past, but sometimes it happens, or your good friend was your enemy in the past. I mean, but sometimes these things happen. Anyway, so understanding all these things, I mean, here's the soul indestructible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then understanding the karma and all those other things, then we obviously can see that no one can kill anyone else. On the other hand, does that justify killing? No. It doesn't justify killing because if you kill someone, you're abruptly, first of all, from two aspects, you're abruptly ending their life and they have more karma to work out in that particular life, more lessons to learn. Because actually the purpose of all these different lifetimes is to learn lessons. That's why we're here. We have a lesson we're supposed to learn. Ultimately, we're supposed to learn the lesson of what? Love of God, turning back to Krishna, you know. That we made a big mistake, a big boo-boo, many, many lifetimes ago. We Krishna Bhakti Mukha, we turned our face away from Krishna. So ultimately, we have to learn that lesson. But we have little mini lessons on that path. And so karmic reactions are meant to teach us these mini lessons, or different circumstances we're put in are meant to teach us these mini lessons. And different grades of life, that is, animal species, plant species, final human species, and all the various human species, 400,000 human species, they're all meant to teach us various lessons. So that's the purpose. So if we kill someone, then we're cutting short, we're taking them out of school in that grade, so to speak. So that's one problem with it. And second problem is that we get a reaction for killing someone. So it's not justified to kill someone, except under certain conditions. Of course, the person is not killed, which are mentioned here, and that's only as punishment for someone who has killed someone else, according to the Manusamhita. Now, we don't even have the right to commit suicide. You may say it's my soul, my body, my karma, because if you commit suicide, then you get a heavier reaction. You don't end your problems. Sometimes people commit suicide because right now, you know, the economy is really bad. Is that true or no?
Yeah.
Yes. But I remember during the 1920s, you may not remember this, but I do. People were, when the stock market crashed, people were jumping out of windows. Does anyone remember that? You saw it in the movies. Okay. So people, because they were thinking, this will end. And sometimes when we counsel people, people talk about their lives. There's so much stress in my life. I have this conflict, which is called avoidance conflict. If I do this, I'm damned. If I do that, I'm damned. There's no escape. I'm going to commit suicide. But if you commit suicide, there's several problems with that. One problem is you got to face the same problem again in the next life. So that's kind of discouraging, isn't it? Whatever problem you're suffering from or challenge, then you have to face that again in the next life. And then another problem is you'll get more problems because you get the reaction for doing that. So there's a karmic reaction for doing that, and you still have to face the same problems. All right. So then the question arises, well, what about, you know, religious wars in the sense of, you know, forcing people to follow a particular religion, you know, like the Crusades or terrorism that we're facing today, you know, what's wrong with that? Because Krishna here, you know, mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, it's mentioned religious wars. So what's wrong with actually, you know, forcing someone to be Krishna conscious? Jagadguru, be Krishna conscious, or you're leaving your body?
Convinced against my will, so I'm of the same opinion still.
Yeah, first of all, in the next life he won't be Krishna conscious either, if he's not Krishna conscious in this life. And another point is that this is not justified to do that, to actually spread a religion, you know, the Krishna conscious religion is actually a religion of peace. It's not a religion of violence, you know. But violence is only required in order to protect people. That's the point. Only then can violence, let's say, I mean, I was giving a lecture the other day, and I was saying in the lecture that, it was in New Orleans. It was quite funny. For me, it was quite funny. So I said, you know, violence is sometimes justified to protect people, and this girl raised her hand and said, no. And I said, well, what about if you're being attacked in the street and I come up and I can save your life by, you know, defending you? She said, why should you be angry with the person who's attacking me? I said, I'm not angry with him. I want to defend you. Anyway, so in those cases, that's when the Manusamhita recommends the violence will be there, to protect others. And in this particular case mentioned here, in order to help someone become purified from his karma, in that particular case when he's committed murder, so in those cases, capital punishment would be allowed. Now, that's something that's really controversial because I know generally religious people are against capital punishment, isn't it? Generally, you'll hear religious people say, you know, they'll march and say, you know, you should forgive this person, forgive that person. But they don't understand the eternality of the soul. They are thinking when the person is killed, everything is finished. And they don't understand the karma that accompanies the soul. So only under those circumstances is violence permitted. Not to spread a religious dogma, because religion, real religion, has to be accepted voluntarily. Even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, when he's explained the whole thing to Arjuna, he says, now that you've heard about these things, deliberate on it and make your own mind up. He doesn't say, do what I say, Arjuna, or else I'm going to blast you. He doesn't say that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, do what you wish. Now you've heard the truth. So that's actually how religion should be spread. You know, true religion should be spread through knowledge. And Krishna wants us to surrender voluntarily. Because love, Krishna wants love. He doesn't want you to do what he says because of force. Worship me or I'll shoot you. Love me. Do you love me? I mean, just like, I was watching this cartoon on the internet. It's actually very funny. Where the man gave the woman a gift she didn't like for Christmas or for her birthday, and he was sent to the doghouse. You saw that? Yeah. So that, I mean, that's not love. What's that?
I was just laughing
where it first came from. Yeah, it came from you. I know. So, you know, you're not going to love, and finally, you know, the guy's trapped in the doghouse until he agrees to love his wife again. You know, it's an interesting video. It sort of shows you what's going on in the world. Because I'm a sannyasi, I'm innocent about these things, about men being sent to the doghouse. I never heard about that before. So anyway, the point is love has to be voluntary. And Krishna wants that. Otherwise, he could force us. He doesn't have to threaten us to force us. He's controlling us. He's controlling the energies. He's in charge of everything. He's Parameshwara. He could force us to do anything like little puppets. But Krishna wants us to surrender to him, to love him voluntarily. And so therefore, that sort of religious war where you're trying to win converts is never justified according to the Vedic literatures. Only to protect people, help people with their karma, but never, never as a tool for conversion. Anyway, so I think I said 20 minutes, I went longer than 20 minutes, so we'll take questions at this time. We have about another 10, 15 minutes for questions. Yes, Ananda.
In the case of capital punishment,
yeah.
Sometimes someone may be convicted of a crime that they didn't commit.
Well, I would say that the government has to be absolutely 100% sure. And I mean, there is a case actually in the Vedic system where someone was punished without proof, and that was the sage Mandavya Muni. I don't know if any of you have heard this story before. Once upon a time, there was a sage, and he was meditating. In his cave or in his ashram, and some thieves came in while he was meditating. You know, he didn't notice them because he was absorbed in meditation. And then the police came, Keystone cops, I guess. They came and they said, do you know where the thieves are? And he was just like, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And they looked in his ashram and they found the thieves and they thought he was an accomplice. So they took him to the king and the king said, look, you're an accomplice. And this is circumstantial evidence, not the proper evidence. And so what the king did is he sentenced him to die by being pierced with a what? Does anyone know the story? With a lance. So there he was. But because he was a sage and a great devotee, he didn't die. And his friends took the form of birds. And they came and he asked them, you know, what's happening? Like that. And they said, well, you're being punished by Yamaraj. And then what happened is that after the king saw that he didn't die being pierced by the lance because he was innocent, the king let him go and they couldn't pull the lance out, so they left part of the lance in his body. So he walked around, finally came to Yamaraj. Yamaraj was in charge of the punishments in the whole universe. And he said, what did I do? And Yamaraj said, when you were young, you pierced an insect with a piece of grass. Therefore, you had to be pierced. And he got really angry with Yamaraj and he cursed Yamaraj, because you have punished me unjustly. You will have to suffer by taking birth as a, what? Shudra. And that was how Vidura took birth. That's the story of Vidura. So that's what happens. If the king or anyone punishes someone unjustly, they have to suffer. And actually, Prabhupada said, in that regard, and I don't like this so much, but anyway, I'll tell you what he said. He said, just like Krishna has his agents in, like Yamaraj, he said, in the International Society, I have my agents, the GBC. It's an interesting quote from Prabhupada, and I guess it indicates where I'm going. But anyway, so he said, if they make any mistakes like that in their judgments, they're going to take birth as shudras. That's right there in Prabhupada's books. I don't know, has anyone read that part of Prabhupada's books? That's scary. That's why I'm resigning very quickly. Whether there's still hope for me. No, I'm not. I'm just joking. So the point is that if one has a responsible position, there is more reactions to that person. Like if someone, just a regular person, man on the street, makes a mistake, hey, Hare Krishna. But if someone in a responsible position makes a mistake, he gets a karmic reaction for that, and a very heavy one. Especially if his decision has to do with other people. So it's a very heavy thing. You understand? So one has to be very, very careful. I mean, obviously he can make ordinary mistakes, like he can be driving his car and turn left instead of right, and he's not going to go to hell. But if he hurts someone else by his actions, people are watching, yes. If he, Gopal's on the other end of the TV. So if he hurts someone else by his actions, there's a heavy reaction. So you better believe that someone's going to be very careful about passing judgment in that case. Isn't it? If you knew, if you were a judge and you knew if you made a mistake, you were going to suffer, what would you do? You would be really careful. You would investigate yourself. You would question everybody. You wouldn't rely on the liars. What's a liar?
Lawyer.
Lawyer. I'm sorry if some of you were lawyers here, but you've heard these jokes before. But you weren't. Nowadays in America, it's described in the Bhagavatam, not only America, all over the world, if you have some money, you can buy justice, basically. You can buy your lawyer. I know in India, there's one court case, and I won't mention what court case it is. I was talking to the people fighting the court case, and they said, we're going to have a lot of trouble because the opposing party paid the judge more than we had. That's India. In America, you don't pay the judges, you just pay the lawyers, right? And the lawyers play golf with the judges. So that works. So in Kali Yuga, you don't really have so much justice. And there are many mistakes being made. But if the judge actually understood the law of karma, he'd be very, very careful about making judgment or passing judgment on someone. Good question. Thank you. Yes, Rishikesh.
All right. If someone is killed, right? It's already predestined that he's going to be killed by
Yes, but if you're the one who does it, you get the reaction for it. If you're the agent, yeah. It's predestined he's going
to
get killed.
Even if it's his karma to be killed that way, still?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's always a karma, just like you can kill someone. This is your karma. You're dying because I the way I know it's your karma, because you're dead. I mean, it just doesn't justify, you know, it's your karma. Everything's karma. I mean, you can, but you're made the decision to be the instrument. And because you've made the decision to be the instrument, you're responsible. Yes. So there's responsibility for every action. You can't, otherwise you're going to blame everything, not only on karma, but on the three modes of nature. The devil made me do it. Of course, that's a Christian way of saying the three modes of nature, right? You know, every religion has it. You know, Arjuna asked, you know, what is one impelled to act as if by force? And Krishna says it's lust only, born of contact with material modes of passion, later transformed to wrath. That's Bhagavad Gita. So, yeah, we can say, you know, it's just Krishna's energy. I'm just controlled by the three modes. I'm just controlled by, I was in ignorance, you know. I mean, people give so many excuses for their behavior, isn't it? Like, don't talk to me, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. Don't talk to me, I'm in a bad mood. It's like you're blaming the bad mood. You know, take responsibility for your life, isn't it? You have choice. Even if you're in a bad mood, you can act nice. You have that ability. But you can't, you know, people who blame become very dysfunctional. They blame everything on something or someone else. But you have free will, you have choice. That's important. So, you know, anyway, you can't say, well, it's your karma I killed you, and my karma I killed you. So it's all karma, you know, nothing else but karma. So help me God. So any other questions about karma? On the screen, if you neglect to punish someone who is hurt, who has hurt another, isn't there a reason? What is that?
Reaction
for that? If you're the king, who's asking the question? Oh, you're not the king, Gopal. In the Western religious literature called the Bible, it says, "Punishment is mine, saith the Lord." So you have to be the representative of Krishna to understand the appropriate punishment. You understand? You can't just say, you're meant to be punished. I'm reading my Manusamhita. Supposed to be punished. Let me go find people supposed to be punished and knock them off. No, that's crazy. The punishment is not up to you. It's up to the proper agents. And Prabhupada said the government. The proper government. Now, that's another discussion I don't want to get into right now. The proper government that understands the laws of karma, the Manusamhita, that's the proper government. I'm not saying it's the American government. I'm not saying it's not the American government. I will leave it at that. So any questions or comments? Other questions? Yes. Meenie. Yeah. Yes, but not as much as if they knew better. There's a greater reaction when one has knowledge. Just like if you read the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes the different punishments for those who have knowledge, and it's actually far greater from those who don't have knowledge. But in another sense, Prabhupada would often say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Like if you're driving your car and you're going like 85 miles an hour and you didn't see the sign and the policeman stops you or the highway patrol stops you and you say, well, I didn't know. You know, what is that an excuse?
No.
Because you were supposed to know. What were you doing when you drove past the sign? Anyway, so yes, if you have knowledge, if it's reasonable that you would have that knowledge, then there's a greater reaction. Yeah.
What if you have the knowledge, but you're not the determination?
Then you pray to Krishna.
But you still suffer reaction.
Then you, well, if you're just talking about Krishna consciousness, there's no reaction in Krishna consciousness. But if you want the determination, you pray to Krishna for strength, determination. Like Krishna says in the Gita, I'm the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, the ability in man. All these things come from Krishna. So you try your best, and you depend on Krishna. Yes, not far.
How much karma is there for people who wear leather shoes and leather belt? How much karma does it take from that?
You'll have to consult the Manusamhita for that. I mean, some, like Prabhupada did say that it's very nice you have this modern technology that you can produce shoes without using leather. But it's better to avoid. In certain countries, there may not be that alternative. And actually, another point about leather, if leather comes from cows that have died naturally, there's no karma to that such a thing. In the Vedic system, people would wear leather shoes because they didn't have petroleum at that time, or they weren't using petroleum at that time. So it depends on the source. But one should be responsible in their buying habits. Like, obviously, there's no need to buy a leather jacket, even if you're a motorcycle person, right? Because you know where it comes from. Incidentally, about leather, India is the largest leather-producing country in the world. They force-march the cows in India across the state borders so they can take them to states where they're allowed to kill the cows, and then they skin them alive there. So a lot of this leather, was it called Gucci or something like that? Is that the right name? What? Gucci. A lot of this Gucci leather and that you like has come from some cow that's been skinned alive in India. So one should actually be responsible, not even talking about karma, but just talking about compassion in your habits, in whether you buy things or whether you use the earth's resources. I mean, even apart from karma, let's say you should try to use as little petroleum as possible. You know, why get a big, what do they call it, SUVs, when a little tiny car will do and you can get 50 miles a gallon or, you know, whatever it is. So we should act responsibly. A devotee is a responsible person. He conserves resources. I remember Srila Prabhupada, walking with Srila Prabhupada, he would be walking down the road and he would see someone in someone's house, the faucet was dripping, he would walk over and turn it off. Or Prabhupada would walk by the rooms in Mayapur and he would see someone had left the light on or the fan on, and he would get very disturbed that they had locked the door and left the fan or light on. So Prabhupada was very much into conservation of energy, utilization of Krishna's resources. So, one more question and then we'll get on. We're going to take prasadam here tonight because it's too windy.
We have the knowledge, but I think, at least in my capacity to follow it, it's pretty minuscule. Isn't there a way we can increase our determination, our capacity, our strength to follow this path? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it's so small actually out there.
Yes, by I think by association with people who are also determined. Like, if we associate with people who do a particular or have a particular type of action, we will be inclined to do the same thing. Just like if someone goes, like Prabhupada said, if you go into the bar where everyone is drinking, you're going to be inclined to drink after some time. So you associate with people who are engaged in spiritual pursuits. I think that's the answer. That's how to get the determination. I know if that's practical. Like Prabhupada said, if you want to, of course, you shouldn't want to invest in the stock market now, but anyway, that's a different issue. But Prabhupada said, if you're dealing in the stock market, you go to the stock exchange. And then you have the association, you get into the mood, right? You ever seen the New York Stock Exchange? Anyone here ever seen a picture of it? They're all in the mood, you know, buy this, sell that. And of course, when the stock market goes down, they all get depressed. You can see them. And when the stock market goes up, you know, the Dow Industrial Average goes up, they all go, Haribo, Nitai Goranga, you know, they're all dancing around there. So in other words, there by that association, then you actually act like the people you're associating with. So that's an important point. Okay? So associate with the right people. You could pick and choose your association. So I think it's time. Just one more question, actually. Yes, Gopi.
I was thinking about what you were talking about in the beginning of the lecture and the purports to the Bhagavad Gita and having Srila Prabhupada's mercy through his purports, and then, of course, thinking about what it is that will please the spiritual master the most as far as receiving his mercy. What can we do to please the spiritual master?
Well, first you got to hear it to figure that out. And so, Shushushro, Shradanadasya, Vasudeva, Kata, Ruchi, Shad, Mahatsa, Vipra, Punya, Tirta, Shavanath. If you hear nicely, then after that, Shravanam, what comes after Shravanam? Does anyone know?
Kirtanam.
Then you can kirtan. You can chant nicely or help others. And then what comes after that? Anyone know? No one knows. Vishnu Smaranam. Not just Smaranam. Yeah, because we'd be in trouble with Smaranam. So Vishnu Smaranam, and what comes after? So that means you start to remember. What comes after Vishnu Smaranam? Padasevana. You begin to serve. Padasevana means to serve the feet, or to serve. Basically, it means to serve in a humble way. Padasevana. And then what comes next? Archanam, then you give in to worship. You appreciate the Lord's form. And what comes after that? What? Dasham? Vandanam, sorry. Yeah, Vandanam. Then you offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's different types of prayers. One is prayer for requesting something. Usually you're supposed to request spiritual things. Or requests of submission. Or requests of intense longing for spiritual advancement. There's different types of prayer. And then what comes after that? Dasham, servant. Sakyam. You understand what? Krishna's your friend. He's taking care of you. And then what? Admanivedanam, complete surrender to Krishna. So it all comes from hearing. Everything comes from hearing. Without hearing, you can't do anything else. You can't. It's impossible. I mean, if I don't hear from Krishna and his representative, I won't know what to remember, what to chant, isn't it? I won't know what to serve, or who to serve, sorry.
Make some room at the door, please.
That's right. I won't know what to surrender or how to surrender. I won't know any of these activities, right? Or how to pray. So everything is dependent on hearing. So we hear nicely from Krishna's pure devotee Prabhupada, then we understand everything. Okay? And it's also dependent upon eating, which we're going to do now. Anurin Prashadam. So we want to thank everybody for listening so nicely and attentively to Krishna Katha. And if you can sponsor some Bhagavad Gita's, Krishna will be very pleased with you, and Srila Prabhupada will be very pleased with you. All glories to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.